Celebrating a Victory Monday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. No Gabe this week. Enjoying some much-deserved time off. Victory Monday is brought to you by Palermo's Pizza. That's Wisconsin's hometown pizza. Threw a couple Palermo's pizzas in the oven yesterday as we watched the NFL. Didn't have to worry about the Green Bay Packers, though, because they played on Thursday and they got a victory over those Lions. That's why, of course, we are celebrating Victory Monday with Palermo's. And Chewy, you were talking about the defense before. Interestingly, when ESPN sent out its stats and information after the game, the headline for the Packers-Lions recap was Packers defense stuffs Goff for the upset victory. And they talked about how Jared Goff was pressured 17 times on Thursday, his most in a game with the Lions. He went 3 of 12 passing and committed 3 turnovers when pressured. So there is something to be said for the way that Joe Barry dialed up that defense on Thursday. I know that the jury is still out on whether or not he can continue to do that. Well, consistency is always the key with everything. I have talked about how I love watching JT O'Sullivan break down the quarterback film. You can find him at The QB School on social media. I highly recommend it. You can watch the Jordan Love one from last week and the previous week. And one of the things he always says about Jordan, especially over the last month, Chew, is it is all there. It's all about consistency. Can he consistently, you know, be in rhythm, not worry about that extra hitch, focus on his footwork, anticipate the throw, anticipate the route, etc.? And I think we are seeing that from Jordan Love. And that's why you are in the boat of extend the guy. He is the guy going forward.
Yes. I don't think he's close to his ceiling. Now, the short, the long ball, there were still some underthrown balls. You know, the one that sticks out to me the most is the one to Watson, but Watson actually went up and made a play.
First play of the game.
What was JT O'Sullivan the guy that was critical of LaFleur, though?
No.
He wasn't.
Mm-mm.
Who was that? Didn't he say his offense was antiquated or something along
those lines? No, that was former backup Ben Kurt.
Oh, that was Ben Kurt. Okay, because I thought LaFleur called a great game.
I agree.
Well.
It almost seemed like, Chew, and tell me if I'm wrong, but it almost seemed like he was like, no one is giving us a shot in this game. Let's open up the playbook. Let's do all the things that I'd been keeping Jordan from doing because I wasn't sure if he had the arm strength or I wasn't sure about the accuracy and I wasn't sure about this and then la 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 la. And was like, let's just run the playbook. Let's just see what the hell happens, right? Because there was that story that emerged, Joshy, about how LaFleur approached Love about that first play of the game where they went deep to Watson and was thinking about changing it, and Love insisted that they throw it. Now, you mentioned the deep ball, Chew. My stats and information that I have in front of me as well talks about the incredible uptick in accuracy for Love on those deep balls. It says Jordan Love completed 69% of his passes, 268, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. We know that. But he has completed 61% of his passes of 15 air yards or more after completing 35% of those throws in the first 7 games.
So where are you guys at? Are you at sign him or wait?
I am at tell the guy that you want to sign him but wait till the end of the season. Like, tell, you know what I mean? If you're Goody and you have a conversation with Jordan Love right now, I think you say, man, it's all looking good. It's all there. This is fantastic. And then you say, let's have a conversation after the season, right? Like, and I think that was always the plan. What do you think, Joshy?
Yeah, I mean, I tend to be the same place. I think if you can get something under value without getting too into the weeds.
You're not going to get them under value if you wait. I'm telling you that right now. If you wait till the end of this year, you are not going to get him at a value. You're not. Because if I was representing him, which I'm sure they're having conversations because they got to be to this point. Even they're probably below the radar. But if I'm his agent saying, we'll take Daniel Jones money right now. And if it's because, you know, Jen, you have an agent. They're constantly working it. They're always working it. They're looking for feelers. And if I'm his agent, I'd say, we'll take Daniel Jones right now. But if you wait till the end of the year and this team makes the playoffs and his stats are comparable to Rodgers, we're not doing the Daniel Jones deal. We're just not going to do it. And that's the only reason I'm like, get the guy cheap as you can. You know he's coming back next year. I just, I don't. The longer you wait with this thing, the more money it's going to cost. And yeah, maybe the cap doesn't matter. To some teams, it seems like it doesn't matter. But I just think based upon when they signed Aaron, they knew about Aaron. They should know about Jordan now. Yes, he's got some questions in his game. But A, he's a hell of a kid. That is, drafting him where there's no drama this year is enough for me. Because so many people were so sick of the drama. And on top of that, the guy, he can play. Does he have flaws? Yeah. Most quarterbacks have flaws. Look at Josh Allen now. I mean, he is the farthest thing from an MVP candidate. Turns the ball over. I just like the kid, and I don't know. The two pressing questions for me, Jen, is signing Jordan Love, and what are we going to do with Joe Barry? Because if Joe Barry's your guy, then we need to stop with the get rid of him. We need to get behind him.
Let me say, hypothetically speaking, Chu, if you had to choose between those two and you could only do one, which one is more important to you? Is it more important addition by subtraction, getting rid of Joe Barry, or is it more important for you to sign Jordan Love and keep Joe Barry? You can only do one.
I'm signing Jordan Love. I'm giving Joe Barry to the end of the year. Because I'm going to, you know what, against Kansas City, I'll be very interested to see how he attacks Kansas City.
Well, which version of Kansas City you think is showing up?
Is he going to be the soft, let's just keep everything in front of us and you know, let their receivers run wild? Or is he going to say, you know what, the hell with it. Worked against Detroit. I make a truck. They may have 500 yards offense, but I'm going down swinging. That's the kind of D coordinator I want. And I think your successful ones are like, you know what, let's go cover zero, bring the house. Live by the sword, you die by the sword. So I'm going to evaluate him, or I'm going to try to, fairly from this point to the end of the season.
800-990-3776. Lots to discuss this morning as we continue celebrating the Packers' victory over the Lions and what it means for this team going forward. Because we're wondering if we should be talking about the playoffs yet. Look, to me, the playoffs, Chu, that's a cherry on top of the sundae.
Yes.
The playoffs, to me, are the gravy on top of the mashed potatoes that I don't want to eat and did not eat on Thanksgiving Day, just to make sure that we all button up that from that conversation last week. To me, that is a bonus. This season was about development. This season was about progress. This season was about let's evaluate Jordan Love and see if he can be the guy. And I think, thankfully, I think most of us are in the conversation of, yeah, he is. He's shown enough. And he still has time. Like, we were going to give him the whole season. And here we are after the Lions game saying, whew, looked pretty dang good the last 4 weeks. Still more time. That means he can still improve. For all y'all out there who are like, he could still regress, pump the brakes, slow the train, yes, but he could also continue improving, which is what the trajectory shows right now, which is why I keep going back to the question, was Goody right? I think there's a lot of people out there, Josh, who have got to get to the point and say that Goody was right about this thing. That you may not have liked how it all went down, you may have thought it was disrespectful not to give Aaron Rodgers a heads up, go ahead and move up to get this pick, a guy that would have to inevitably sit behind Rodgers for however long it was that he was going to be there. Then all of the communication issues between the quarterback and the front office and the ripple effect that all of that had, and guys having to take sides and the name calling and the Jerry Krause stuff. I mean, we can't forget about all of that drama that we endured over the last three seasons. But if Jordan Love is your guy, and they do, in fact, sign him to this extension that we're, you know, thinking has to maybe come after the season, then you have to admit Goody was right. You have to admit he saw this back then, Chu.
I don't think I need to the end of the season. I think I've seen enough to say, yeah, he's right. Now, like I said, is he going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback? Maybe. Chances are slim. Is he going to make a few Pro Bowls? Yeah. I think he could. There's a lot of teams, I mean, a lot of teams out there they still have question marks about their young quarterbacks. The only one that's a solid is probably Stroud in Houston, but Jordan Love, would you put him as a top 15 quarterback based upon this year right now? Yeah. I would.
Yeah, hard not to.
But also, there is a lot of
Oh, crap.
Yeah. There's like five good ones, but
yeah, there's a lot of crap.
I was trying to be diplomatic, if I'm being honest there, because I don't ever want to, like, but there's a lot of guys out there. I mean, I'm watching Gardner Minshew yesterday. Did the Colts end up winning that game?
Yeah, they beat him by 7.
So I'm watching Gardner Minshew out there yesterday, and I wouldn't say that he's campaigning for a top spot in the league. We are getting some clarification, guys. I have read the text messages. We are getting some feedback from some of our loyal listeners about this potential wait that you have to do if you sign a guy to an extension. Joshy, what is Jason Wilde telling you about that?
I reached out to Jason. He said him and Rob had been discussing it. They're not entirely sure, but they think they know that they've heard that's a rule. But Jason's going to speak to the league today to get clarification on the extension, because there's different rules between like signing a contract and then restructuring versus like full out extensions and all that. Okay. So it's complicated.
So the question that we have is that does the NFL have a rule where you can't sign a contract extension within 12 months of signing a previous extension? Love signed last May instead of the Packers picking up the fifth year option. So they would not be able to sign any other extension, any additional extension.
Correct.
Until this coming May. But Jason Wilde is going to talk to the league to get clarification on that. Right now, it is a rumor that is swirling around Jordan Love and the contract and the future. Was Goody right? That's what I want to get to. I want to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, but I want to get to, was Goody right? Are you willing to say that if you are seeing Jordan Love trending in the right direction, that you think he will be the guy, are you willing to say that Goody was right about this whole thing? 800-990-3776. Guys, have you been to Pottawatomie Casino Hotel yet? It is in the heart of downtown Milwaukee, and it is fantastic. There is a table waiting for you at 12 bars and restaurants. That's right. They have really upped their food game at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. They also are offering a winning seat at 40 table games and 3,000 slot machines. Now, I'll usually be at one of those, so I guess it's $2,999. But you also get the thrill of bingo, full-service sports betting, and so much more. So if you are ready to spark something new, might I interest you in a night or a day, an afternoon, a morning at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel? You can explore more at their website, paysbig.com, paysbig.com, paysbig.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I have told you how many times.
I know.
Do not mess with electricity, Chew.
And I don't. I did. But
there was
I
an
don't.
Incident?
There was fun.
Plumbing, you're going to get wet. Electricity, you're going to die.
On 94.5 ESPN.
It's Victory Monday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. That is brought to you by Palermo's. And I'll tell you what gets me through a tough Monday. It is Celsius energy drink. If you haven't tried it, let me tell you all about it, guys. It is the clean and active energy that I need to stay active and energized all day long. And the great thing is there's so many different flavors. Yes, I love my OG pink peach vibe, but huge fan of the lemon lime also. And you got plenty of options to choose from if those don't sound great to you. Celsius is the essential energy drink that I choose to stay on top of it all, and you can find Celsius at your local retailer. Stay active and energized all day long like I do with Celsius Essential Energy Drinks. This is very simple, and I do think it's going to be tough for some people to admit. But if you think the Packers have their guy in Jordan Love, then this is easy. Goody was right. He made the right decision moving up to draft Jordan Love. He made the right decision moving on from Aaron Rodgers. If you believe that Jordan Love's progress is enough, you've seen enough to give him the gig going forward, then Goody was right. We put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy poll. Was Goody right? Yes, he was right. No, he was wrong. Chew, are you with me that Goody was right about Jordan Love? Even though there's still time out there, even though there's still games out there, even though he could have a clunker or two somewhere along the line, was Goody right, Chew?
Yes, I would say just based upon where other quarterbacks were drafted around the time he was, I would say absolutely. Yes, 100%. I think we've seen enough. I don't know what else people want to see.
Ooh, that's a good question. What else do you want to see? If you're not there yet on Jordan Love, what else do you want to see? Is it as simple as the accuracy? Is it as simple as the deep ball? Because again, when you watch the breakdown of film of guys who have played the position much smarter than myself, again, JT O'Sullivan, check him out, the quarterback school. There's a 42-minute breakdown of this last game, Jordan Love versus the Lions, Packers versus the Lions. And you can watch and see his thoughts on all of it. And while there are little things he'd like to see him do differently, he continues to say it is all there. It is all about consistency. So what else would you want to see from Jordan Love? Let us know. 800-990-3776. Reaction rolling in fast and furiously on Goody. Jeff in the 920 says, Goody was right to trade 12. He might be right on Love. He was wrong on trading Douglas. Should have traded Jair. Right on the young tight ends and receivers.
You know what? I was thinking of that during the break with Jair.
Really?
Well, I mean, they got some pretty good corners there, some young kids. Jair's kind of a little bit of a loose cannon. I don't think LaFleur's real happy with him right now, the fact that he's been unavailable for a good part of the season. But, Jen, if you just look, you know, around quarterbacks that were drafted around Jordan Love, they already have their answer. All right, Mac Jones in New England, he's not the guy. He's gone. Who's it? The Jets. Zach Wilson?
Yeah.
He's gone. Kid in Pittsburgh. Pickett.
Stinks.
Jury's still out, but he's not trending in a good spot. Stroud, like I said, he's a little younger than him, but he's been a bright spot for the league this year. So I just don't know what else people want to see other than consistent wins.
God, that was a hell of a quarterback class, though. Joe Burrow, Tua Tagovailoa, Justin Herbert.
Yeah. And Josh, you said it earlier. I mean, Rodgers got the extension, and they went 6-10 that year.
Yeah.
So, no, I think Goody nailed it. I don't know if he nailed it. I don't think you could say he nailed it yet, but it's turning out to be, especially with the 24th pick. I mean, it's not like he's a top five bust. A Kyler Murray. Yeah. I think it's a really good pick. And you know what? We got to give Goody some credit too, because it looks like he nailed the four receivers.
I thought right? That's what we were doing here.
Yeah. We're saying Goody was right. Chewy's saying we got to extend it to the receivers
yeah.
as
yeah,
well,
because
the pass catchers
we're so,
as well.
We're so scarred by the Joe Barry taint.
Huh?
You know? Not his taint. The taint. Give me another word for taint.
He tainted the pool.
Just give me another word for
he
taint.
He just tainted this whole segment.
Yeah, what the?
Hey, you got Goody. The podcast.
Not a single person out there that didn't all of a sudden think of a very specific spot on that man's body when you said what you said. And I blame you for that. Yeah, we were doing so well. An hour and a half into the show, Chew? Come on.
Can I get another word for taint?
You're using it in like the improper.
I am not
tense.
Tainted. Right?
Yeah, he tainted. Like
it was tainted.
No, singular taint. Taint Joe Barry.
Right, but if it's a noun, it's the other thing. That's the problem.
Yeah,
you're saying that you used it like a noun.
I know, but it pains me. Like all I was looking for today was something to hold over Joe Barry's head after a great performance, and I saw the 464.
Yeah.
Whoop! There you go.
Yeah,
it's like the long ball.
But then we told you that 170 of it was on the final two drives, which was basically garbage time.
And the reason the Packers outperformed was because they had shorter fields, creating turnovers, things of that nature.
Brandon from Tulsa weighing in saying, how much credit should Rodgers get for developing Jordan? And how many teams will start to try to mimic that going forward? It seems Green Bay knows what it's doing when it comes to quarterbacks in this league. Sure. And I'm not willing to sit here and act as though Jordan Love existed in a vacuum. You want to talk about Jordan Love's development? I'm going to tell you, Tom Clements has a hell of a lot to do with that. The only reason Tom Clements is in Green Bay is why?
Quarterback whisperer.
Aaron Rodgers,
right?
Yes.
Aaron Rodgers brought him out of retirement, put him there. There's no doubt in my mind that he is having a positive impact on Jordan Love. So I will not sit here and try to act as though Aaron Rodgers doesn't have some role in Jordan Love's development. That would be ridiculous. But I do think that Goody drafting Jordan where he did, put a big old target, put a big old bullseye on his back. And for the last 3 years, he's been wearing it, man. Because people felt like they had to choose between Aaron Rodgers or Brian Gutekunst. And I would say that if you think that Jordan Love is the guy going forward, which all signs are pointing to, you have to eat a little crow. You have to admit that Goody was right. You have to say he is the guy. And the only reason the Packers may be able to have another decade of decent quarterback play is because Goody went out on a limb, grabbed a guy he thought could be that guy when everyone else told him he was crazy.
I think we're leaving out a large part of the conversation as well as look what's happening in New York and look at how the tides have turned on Aaron Rodgers from the fans and from the media out there. Lazard was a healthy scratch. His coach said he needs to prove he like wants to be out there and competing. Aaron Rodgers also got injured. Now, it was Achilles, freak injury, whatever. You can't predict him. But we also pretended like Aaron Rodgers just never was going to age. When you get older, injuries happen more often. That's part of the NFL and growing older. So you have to factor in all those things into the decision-making that Goody made regarding Jordan Love and moving on from Aaron Rodgers.
Well, and absolutely, because at the time, he had regressed.
Right.
Now, again, he's one of the greatest to do it of all time. No one's taking that away from him. But your point stands. When you get up there past the 40 mark, heck, for a lot of these guys, past 35.
Yes.
Then it's a gamble. It's a gamble every time you go out there. It's a violent physical game.
You know? But I would have never seen Alan Lazard as a toxic player, which is pretty much what they're saying, right?
I don't know if he's saying that exactly. I think he's just saying he's not that good.
Not that good without Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah.
Really? All right. I mean, that to me is just weird, though. I mean, he was never a problem here.
No. But Aaron Rodgers was always playing.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Ain't our problem anymore.
800-990-3776. Let's go out to Mike in Milwaukee. Mike in Milwaukee on the line with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Hey, I'm a big Jordan Love guy so far, but if we're asking if Goody was right, I think we need to look at the fact that Jalen Hurts was sitting there, and he traded up to get a guy we still don't know about, and there was a guy sitting there who's already brought his team to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, all 31 teams passed on Tom Brady, too. So, like, if that's how we're going to start doing equations, there's a lot of things we're going to have to factor in. It's what we have versus what we had. That's as simple as that to me, isn't it?
Yeah, you could throw Purdy in there, too. Mr. Irrelevant. You know, that happens. I'm surprised more people don't want him signed. What are we doing here?
Well, and again, we're efforting with Jason Wilde to find out if, in fact, Chew, they can sign him. There seems to be this thought process that you have to wait 12 months to put pen to paper again. And since he just did the extension in May, they may have to wait until May in order to be able to commit to him long term. But we are efforting that confirmation from Jason Wilde, who said he will speak to the league this week. Yeah, I don't love the idea of could have gotten this guy, could have gotten that guy. Obviously, we talk about it all the time. When the Packers played the Steelers a few weeks ago and T.J. Watt is out there on the field, I have never heard Kevin King's name so much as I did in the days leading up to that game and during that game. Yes, it's an inexact science, and there's pressure to be correct the most at the quarterback position. But if you think the Packers should sign Jordan Love to a long-term deal, whenever they're allowed to do that, as we work on that information, then you have to admit that Goody was right to go do that. And maybe sometimes being right is putting a guy in a position to succeed, surrounding him with talent, surrounding him with coaches, giving him a long enough leash in order to make the mistakes that somebody is going to make in order to be great. But it does feel like being willing to move on from Aaron Rodgers, which is what people thought was insane. Why in the world would you do that? Future Hall of Famer, multiple-time MVP. And he was kind of out there all alone on this branch going, I kind of think this guy could be the next thing.
Who has the authority to sign him? I mean, because Ted clearly was running the show back in the day and he was McCarthy's boss, so he could say, all right, let's give Aaron an extension. That's probably a question. Does Goody have that?
You know who we can ask? Rob Domofsky. He's coming up next.
Rob. I forgot about
He's coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Stick around, guys.
ESPN's number one source for green and gold information.
What's the biggest mistake that new quarterbacks make? Turnovers. And he hasn't had it.
And mating rituals.
The Shedd Aquarium in Chicago was one of my favorite school fields. And I believe there were dolphins there, but they left that out.
Our most musically inclined and bald guest.
Wow, I'm a little, it's only love. It's only love.
It's Rob Domofsky on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Rob Domofsky joining us here on a Victory Monday, which is brought to you by Palermo's Pizza. It's Wisconsin's hometown pizza. Palermo's has your game day covered, and frankly, all of your days. You can find Palermo's in your local grocer's freezer. Palermo's Pizza, Wisconsin's hometown pizza. Rob!
Hi, Jen. How are you?
I'm so good. We are still talking about the Packers' victory from Thursday. I don't care that it's 5 days removed. I don't care that we are almost closer to their next game, almost, than their previous game, because there's been a lot of questions now that have cropped up. Is Jordan the guy? Has he shown enough? I know we've bring that up almost every week after a game and after a performance, but more importantly than that, do you get the impression now that Goody was right about all of it, about moving up to get Jordan, about moving on from Aaron, about steadfastly being committed to this kid and letting him take his lumps and give it, you know what I mean? All of it. Are you willing to say that Goody was right at this point?
He can be right about some of that, though, right? And not all of it? Is that fair?
Like, yeah, parse it out with me, though. I want to know what's going on the right column and what's going on the not right column.
Okay. I don't think he was right to draft Jordan Love back in 2020. Like, I understand why he did it. I don't think it was the right move at that time. He underestimated, what it would do to Aaron, unless he was sick of him at that point, which maybe he was. I don't know that was the right time to draft the next quarterback. However, we can say that the drafting of that quarterback is now looking like it might be closer to being right than we thought maybe a month ago. I still don't know, as we sit here right now, that we can unequivocally say that he is the next franchise guy. And what I mean by that is he the next guy that's the quarterback here for 8 to 10 years, makes multiple Pro Bowls? I'm not saying he has to be a Hall of Famer, but is he good enough to be the guy for the next decade? I don't think we know that. We know that he's good enough to be the quarterback probably for the next year and maybe into another contract, and then we see where it goes from there. Like, is Dak Prescott the guy in Dallas after this? If he doesn't get Dallas past the first round of the playoffs, do they need to move on and find another quarterback? Like, that's where we're not at that point with Jordan Love yet, but that's – like 4 or 5 years down the line, then you'll know if he's good enough to be the guy who takes you to Super Bowls or he's just an okay guy that gets you to the playoffs.
Then, Rob, then why did they sign Aaron so early into his first year of starting with a more experienced cast and they finished the season 6-10?
I don't think Rodgers, Chewy, was the reason that they were 6-10 at that point. I mean, Rodgers was putting up, big numbers at that time. I mean, what did it take him? How long did it take him to throw his first 300-yard game? It didn't seem very long. Yeah. I know he had one against Atlanta after the shoulder injury, it's probably like week 5 or 6 of that season. I just think you saw more from a natural arm talent and just the way he carried himself than you've seen from Jordan at this point. Not that Jordan hasn't shown great improvement, because he has. And I do think that the one question that we have answered in this is, are they going to draft a quarterback in the first round next year? And the answer to that now should be no.
I'm seeing a lot of things saying offensive linemen, maybe get your left tackle of the future. Rob Domofsky hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy here on a Victory Monday on ESPN Milwaukee. Let's just talk a minute about Rashawn Gary. Are we not giving him enough flowers? I know they gave him the game ball. I know that it was an emotional moment in the locker room as Matt LaFleur reminded everybody that it was a year ago that he had that injury. Do we need to be giving him, heaping more praise on what Rashawn Gary has done this season?
I'd like to see him make more plays against the run before we do that a little bit. I don't know that he's the greatest run defender that they have, but as a pass rusher, I think so. The thing that's remarkable to me, Jen, is that, you know, guys come back from ACL injuries, and there used to be the saying that you come back the next year, but you're not really what you used to be until the year after that. I don't know that that's so much true now as it used to be. I think, you know, the advancements in surgeries have changed that a little bit. But still, there's usually, you know, an acclimation period where a guy just isn't the same. And I know they put him on a snap count, and maybe that was the acclimation period he needed. But I don't know that I've seen a guy basically pick up where he left off or was even better this soon after an ACL.
So, Rob, I came in today planning to gush over Joe Barry until I looked at the team stats. So if you take the turnovers out of the equation, just based upon the stats, I would say Detroit probably wins that game by 10, just based on the stats. How should I feel about the defense after this performance? Was a lot of garbage time yards added at the end of the game? I don't know how to feel. 464.
Yeah, I mean, I thought this was a better defensive performance than the Chargers game, where the Chargers gifted it to him, right, Chewy? I mean,
yeah.
Like, I sort of feel like we're having a similar conversation. Like, if Keenan Allen doesn't drop one or two of those balls, if the rookie number one doesn't
Quentin
drop
Johnston.
The ball down the sideline. Yeah, and it's a little bit like, what was the game? Was it the Saints game here where they won, but the defense allowed them to drive down and attempt a field goal? Will Lutz, I think, from the Saints. I can remember Will Lutz's name. I can't remember a first-round draft pick receiver's name.
Well, to be fair, I covered Quentin at TCU. So,
well, you watch college football. I just think, you know, that is what the NFL is. You have to take it when you can get it. And I'm sure every team has games like that where they win because somebody gifted them something. But I don't know that, like, the Joe Barry experience or whatever should change at all just because this team's handed him something. Now, I will say this, Mark. He's not firing Joe Barry after this season.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
yeah.
It just it ain't happening. So my advice, I guess, would be to just move on and accept it.
Rob Domofsky hanging out with us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, as he does each and every Monday during the football season. Invaluable information, great perspective as always. How should I feel about Christian Watson now? Because obviously I was frustrated about some of the misses that he had headed into the game. He obviously had the big play, which again, we heard the story afterward that Matt LaFleur was thinking about not going to him on that first play, but Jordan Love insisted that they go ahead and run that play anyway. I saw that Next Gen Stats said Watson hit 21.5 miles per hour on that 53-yard catch, which is impressive no matter how you slice it. And yet then I saw on the JT O'Sullivan breakdown that he likely ran the wrong route, and I believe somebody confirmed it, on the touchdown, the very first touchdown of the game. So do I just need to be patient with this guy as he continues to kind of work out some of those issues?
Yeah, I think, Jen, this might just be what he is. Like, you know, he giveth and he taketh, you know, and you just hope that he giveth more than he taketh, because he does have some rare ability and he can give you some things in the offense that nobody can. But he's not, you know, he's maybe not the down in, down out consistent guy that you'd want, you know, from a wide receiver one. And I know I know they're not going to draft a receiver in the first round because they never draft a receiver in the first round, but I still think they don't necessarily have a guy that you can clearly pinpoint and say, this is a number one go-to receiver. I mean, Romeo Doubs is a really good possession receiver, still drops the ball too much, had a bad drop on third down over the middle against the Lions. You know, Jaden Reed, it looks really explosive, but he's a slot guy. How many slot guys are really number one receivers? So, you know, I don't know that they have a number one receiver, and I don't know that Christian Watson is ever going to be that number one receiver.
How did the O-line play, Rob?
Really good. I mean, like, completely different than what it was in week four when the physicality of Detroit just dominated the game. I mean, Jordan, I don't think he didn't get sacked. I don't know how many times he got hit. There were a few pressures. You know, they're playing really well. Zach Tom had a really, really good game against Aiden Hutchinson, who obviously we know what he can do. This is a sort of an unheralded, which an offensive line is always going to be unheralded. You're never going to hear about them unless they screw up. Mm-hmm. But this has really kind of been an unheralded part of the last month or so, you know, of Jordan's improvement. It's just how they've been able to help him along. I still run blocking, though. I still would like to see a little bit more in that area, but that's the whole run unit too. That's on the backs and everybody and play calling and all that. But from a pass protection standpoint, they've been really, really good.
Rob, I'm watching you on the stream right now. What are you rocking there? You got a high school sweatshirt on? You rocking the home team?
DePere basketball. These were the shirts that they made before the state championship game last year. So high school basketball season starts this week for my younger one. So we're ready to go.
I love a hoodie, as you guys well know. So maybe I'll sneak up by you and grab a DePere basketball sweatshirt sport for the rest of the season. Rob, we appreciate you always with the Packers Insight. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, guys. We'll be seeing you.
He's Rob Domofsky. You can, of course, follow him on social media. I highly recommend that you do. If you don't, I'm sure that most of you do. Good stuff from our friend Rob. All right, we got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We've been talking Packers all morning long. I want to get to one thing, one other thing right after this.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Yes, that would have been much worse ended up happening.
Finally got the which would be worse and what would be better. Finally, yes. We figured it out.
You can't just be showing your junk on national TV.
It would have got a lot of clicks.
On 94.5 ESPN. Here we go.
Consider Professional Construction Inc. in Waukesha for all of your construction needs. Whether you're looking for help on a multifamily or an office, maybe a commercial project, or you're doing a remodel on your current home like we did. Got the basement finished. PCI was the team that did it for us. Mike and Michelle operate a family-owned company. They believe in building relationships and giving back to the community. And if that wasn't reason enough to work with them, they do exceptional work. Professional Construction Inc. is also hiring experienced carpenters to lead field crews. You can apply online at professionalconstructioninc.com/careers. Professional Construction Inc. Tell them Jen from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy sent you.
Metronome.
Chewy, I don't know if you saw this last night, but the Bucks got a huge win over the Trailblazers, 108-102. The final score is not really indicative of where they were in this game, Chew. They came back from down 26 points. Ooh. It was the largest deficit where a team came back to win in the NBA. And it was the second largest in franchise history. When I say the NBA, I mean this season. This season. Mm-hmm. So 26 points. They came back from down 26 points to win. But a major story that I saw on social media yesterday, Chew, was that everybody's favorite manager of the Chicago Cubs was in attendance at Fiserv Forum, and people got big mad.
I love it.
You love do, because of grapes, right? Hashtag
brass
grapes.
Balls. Good for him. Sitting first row?
Yeah, first or second. Yeah, he was out there.
I love it.
That's a weird move, is it not?
I don't think it's weird. Why? This is his hometown.
Yeah, but you know how it just reacted, and to be like, rich people go to basketball games to be seen. That's the point of going there. It's not, oh, I love basketball. The reason all those people sit up at the front.
It could be, oh, I love basketball.
No, it's not. We all know what it is. That's what Milwaukee has become. Gucci Man is sitting up front. Aaron Rodgers is sitting up front. Craig Council going there is to be seen. I don't know if he's trying to thumb his nose at everyone.
Hold on.
Trying to be like, hey, I'm still here and I'm still a fan of Milwaukee.
I'm not afraid of you.
Yeah, right? I don't know what it is.
If Rodgers showed up to a Bucks game, I believe he's still a part minority owner, yeah, right? Would that be okay? He doesn't live here anymore. He doesn't play here anymore.
For someone who doesn't have a lot of sense, he's had the sense not to show up.
I don't think people would have a problem with it. Would they?
So Chu has no problem Craig Counsell sitting second row at the Bucks game, watching them come back to win 108-102 over the Blazers. I don't have a problem with it either. I didn't look at it from Chu's standpoint, which was, holy cojones. That wasn't where I was coming from. But I have no problem with somebody enjoying a game. And I think the people who are getting all bent out of shape about it need to grow the bleep up. Grow up. He should be able to go to a basketball game. It shouldn't be that big a deal. It shouldn't hurt you. You shouldn't be triggered by it. Like, this whole idea of he needs to be sensitive to the fan base. He needs to understand how his decision hurt us. That's a you problem.
I just love it. Because he probably had the option, hey, do you want to sit in a box or do you want to sit in the front row? He's like, give me the box.
It really doesn't bother me. I'm definitely
does bother you.
No, I'm confused by it. It like it seems I'm trying to figure out the motivation behind it.
He wanted to go to a basketball game.
To watch his hometown team.
I've never looked at someone straight in the eyes like I am with you, Jen, right now, knowing you're just lying to me.
I'm not lying to you.
There's no way after people spray painted ass on the field named after him, he's just like, you know what? It's a nice Sunday. I'd like to go to a game.
What if he wore a Cubs hat? That would have been
That would have been dastardly. I would have expected it more, honestly. He was obviously trying to get under people's skin. But he was unassuming, right? He looks like a normal guy. If you don't follow the Brewers, I bet the people are like, I don't even know who that dude is. So it was, I don't think that people should take it as personally people took it.
More zoom ins of Craig Counsell's face than any member of the Brewers in the past 5 years. The amount of looks into the dugout that he gets, if you watch Milwaukee sports, you know exactly who that fella is.
Did they boo him?
I didn't get confirmation on it.
Well, and Greg Popovich wasn't there to hop on the microphone to tell people not to.
Because that worked.
Well, that was a weird move. Weird move by Pop. But when you're Pop, you do what you want, right?
Yeah.
You don't worry about what anyone else has to say. Thanks for hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy today. Wildy and Tasha's next on ESPN Milwaukee. Chew and I and Joshy back again tomorrow.